and get ready for the racing weekend.
Checker flag!
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
A win at this racetrack locks him in to the championship four in Phoenix. Gives his team 2 weeks to work on that car. Kyle Larson, a dominant performance. He leads 256 laps, and he'll win at Texas.
Phoenix, run for a title. Good job.
Hell yeah, boy! Let's go!
And welcome into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm Chase McCabe here with you. It's all brought to you by Hillside Medical. And yes, that is how it sounded at Texas on NBC as Kyle Larson once again wins in the NASCAR Cup Series, his eighth Cup Series win of the season, as he continues such a dominant performance in his first year in the five car for Hendrick Motorsports. And he's well on his way to winning a championship, but we know how this format works. Anything can happen. Hope everybody's having a great start to their Saturday. We got a big show planned. We will talk about all the fallout from Texas. We'll talk about codes amongst the drivers and look ahead to this weekend at Kansas. We'll also talk to John Roberts from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, the host of Trade and Paint. He will join us a little later on in the show. So let's get in to Texas and what all unfolded there between Kyle Larson and everybody else. I mean, that's really what it was. It was Kyle Larson and everybody else because he absolutely dominated this one. And that's kind of been the story for him this year. I mean, they ran 334 laps. He led 250-something of them at Texas. So a tremendous result for him to get his eighth win of the year. William Byron second, Christopher Bell third, Brad Keselowski fourth, Kevin Harvick fifth, followed by Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, Tyler Reddick, and Daniel Suarez rounding out the top 10. And as you look at the standings after Texas, obviously Larson has punched his ticket into the championship four at Phoenix. The rest of the championship four, if it were to start today, would be Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch. Chase Elliott is on the outside looking in by a point, by 8 points. So he is minus 8 behind Kyle Busch. Brad Keselowski's next, then Truex, and then Joey Logano. And I'll tell you this. I think that any of the drivers I just named, Elliott, Keselowski, Truex, Logano, they've all won at Kansas. So, I mean, they obviously have a chance to win this weekend and punch their ticket in. But here's the other part. Larson runs well there. Hamlin's won there. Kyle Busch has won there. He won earlier this year. And Ryan Blaney's been good on these things as well. So I think it's going to be an exciting race to see who else transfers in to the championship four. But the first one to do so was the most dominant driver of the year, and that is Kyle Larson. And he caught up with NBC to talk about it after he crossed the start-finish line.
Unreal. I knew we'd have a good shot to win today, and our car was amazing. That's probably the best 550 package intermediate car we've had all year. So thanks to everybody on this five team, HendrickCars.com, Rick Hendrick. This is so cool. We had a lot of people from Hendrick Cars here, and we get to go race for a championship in a few weeks. This is crazy.
That's probably surreal to you, but how about those 7 restarts you had in stage 3 and you never once faltered? How did you keep it together for all of them?
Yeah, I just got good pushes from behind me, really. I tried to stay patient on the throttle to keep them to my back bumper, and thankfully I was able to just barely clear them every time into one and not have to fight off of 2. So thanks to William, Tyler, Brad Keselowski, anybody who was ever behind me, especially Brad there that last restart. So just awesome to win, and hopefully we can get some more wins throughout the rest of the year.
How big will it be to have 2 weeks now to get ready for Phoenix and focus on that race and go run for a title?
Yeah, it'd be cool. I mean, I don't think we're going to lose focus on Kansas or Martinsville, but I definitely think we can shift a little bit more to our Phoenix car and really look forward to that. I love the West Coast. I love Phoenix. We've always been fast there, at least I was really fast earlier this year in the five and made a lot of mistakes, but I think we should have a good shot. Our team's been so strong all year long, and might as well close it out now.
And, you know, I'm going to bring this up with John Roberts, but if he doesn't win it, like, I'm a fan. I'm not necessarily, you know, saying that I'm pulling for him. It's just the dominant performance that he's had this year. I mean, and it hasn't been like he got hot at a certain time. I know he's had some back-to-backs in there, but it's stretched out pretty much the entire season. It would almost be disappointing if he didn't win, is kind of how I look at it. Now, you know, some people will make the comparison of, well, yeah, when the Patriots went undefeated and lost in the Super Bowl, that was great. But I don't think – I mean, I know there are some people that, you know, may not be fans of Larson, and I know there are some people that haven't forgiven him from the iRacing incident. But I feel like he's a fan favorite. And so I think people are kind of pulling for him to get the win. Now, if there's some sort of upset, then that's the drama that NASCAR wanted to create with this format. That's why they have the playoff format. And so that's what you get. But he has been so much fun to watch, because you're seeing him in top-notch equipment and just how good of a driver he truly is with all the laps that he's led. I mean, he's chasing the laps led record as well with all the laps that he has led. But, you know, Larson is going to be tough to beat. But something interesting that I caught at the end of the race when Dale Jr. and Jeff Burton were talking about things, they were talking about Hendrick Motorsports. Now that Kyle Larson has won, can Hendrick focus a little bit more on the 9 car to try him and get him in and then have double the chances of winning another championship?
Now that he's won, Hendrick can focus a little bit more on the car of Chase Elliott, and they need to. He's right at the thick of this battle at the cut line, and they're going to have to find a little bit more speed in that 9 car for him to have a chance at repeat.
And look, the last two Hendrick drivers to advance to the championship four, what'd they do? They took the trophy home. They won the championship. So when Hendrick gets in that situation, they have a way of delivering.
See, I kind of find that to be interesting, because I think that Elliott has had a good year. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the things that have affected him the last few weeks here in just a little bit. But I think he's had a good year. He hasn't gotten hot like he did last year in the playoffs en route to a championship. I mean, it's going to be, in my opinion, tough for him to beat Larson for this championship. But I do find that theory interesting of when you're talking about teammates, and because, you know, Larson, now if I'm Larson, if I'm Cliff Daniels, I'm his team, I'm thinking, well, let's go for 10. Let's try and get double-digit wins this year, which they, you know, they certainly have a chance to do. They have 3 more races that they could do that, and they're sitting at 8. They could win this weekend at Kansas, Martinsville. You know, he's run well on short tracks, and then, of course, the season finale at Phoenix, which I think you're going to win the championship. That's generally what happens, is you got to win that race. But, you know, they can put more resources into Chase Elliott and trying to get Chase Elliott into the championship four so he can fully defend his title. I think that's interesting if they're able to do that. But I mentioned some of the other drivers that could have something to say about this. Let's start with Brad Keselowski. Brad Keselowski, as I mentioned, is on the outside looking in. He's 15 points from the cut line and finished fourth at Texas, and talked about his chances in advancing.
Yeah, Park, we didn't need all them yellows. We had the car balanced really well with the discount tire forward for long runs. And the, you know, last few times we've been here, you get 40, 50 lap, 100 lap runs at the end. And geez, we didn't run more than 2 laps at a time for the last 45, 50 laps. And that's not what we needed. We needed the long runs to be able to keep them honest. But we had the long run speed. Those guys were just blistering fast, the 5 and the 24. Every restart, they just drove away from me. And it's kind of like, come on, give me some laps and let their stuff wear down. But just wasn't the way it put out.
You guys came in here 16 points below the cut line. You now leave here 15 points. You gained a point after all of that. How does that work for you guys going forward?
Yeah, we gained a point, but we moved up from 8th to 6th. So that's a nice little win for us. Get us a good pit stall for next week. And if you keep running like that, scoring, you know, high 30s, low 40s in points, we'll transfer in.
Brad has a chip on his shoulder because it's well documented what's happening with him. He's leaving Team Penske, where he's had a ton of success. He's won a championship there before, and he's going to Roush and going to be a part owner of that team and a driver. That's something that he's always wanted to do, is have ownership. So I think that he is determined to try and go out on top with Team Penske. He wants to win another championship for Roger Penske. They are leaving on very good terms. I think it's understood that of why he's leaving. It's simply for the ownership part that Roger couldn't offer him. So therefore, he wants to try and win another race and win another championship for Roger Penske. He's going to be really tough to beat. He's going to be a tough out. He is determined and probably more determined than he ever has been to do something like this and to play spoiler. I mean, again, I go back to this format that NASCAR has created. That's what this is. You know, the best driver may not win just because it's just like the NFL playoffs. I mean, you can have upsets, and that's what we like, and it's entertaining to all of us. You know, you can remember Joey Logano was upset because they had the big three, and he ended up winning the championship a few years ago. I mean, Chase Elliott wasn't the favorite going into the playoffs, obviously, and ends up winning it last year. So, I mean, that's just kind of the way it goes. Brad Keselowski is a dangerous one to watch in all of this. And then another one that I think is going to be tough is the guy that's sitting second in points right now. It really got hot towards the end of the regular season. He won three races, and that's Ryan Blaney, who had another solid finish at Texas.
Yeah, it just gets wild and crazy. You know, there's not a ton of room here to kind of go on restarts. And then, you know, just trying to help each lane kind of moves forward. You know, you hope the lane you pick moves forward. And I thought we could run third or fourth. I thought the top, you know, two, the 5 and 24 were pretty spectacular. But I thought we could run third or fourth and just lost a couple spots here and there on each restart. Gain one, lose one, and then, you know, we ended up six. So proud of the Dex Imaging Ford Mustang team today. You know, good stage points. I got a good finish out of it, and going to Kansas and keep on at it.
You mentioned the good stage points. How key was that? Because now you go to Kansas plus 17, comfortable margin there or not?
I don't think you'd ever be comfortable. I mean, you can, you know, you go have an issue in the first stage and all that's gone. So just got to keep doing what you're doing. You know, I don't think you can ever get comfortable unless you're the five car right now, you know, for the next two races. So you just have to, you know, keep racing like you have been. We did a good job on pit road and didn't make any mistakes today, and had a fast enough car to run up at the front. And, you know, you'd hope just bring that every single week and just, you know, keep focusing on one race at a time.
I just think that it's going to be very, very exciting here in the next couple of races to see who gets into this championship four. And then obviously the championship race at Phoenix is going to have its excitement as well, because I look at all of these drivers behind Larson and I give them a chance to win Kansas just because of their strengths. You know, I think Hamlin is sitting in a good position to possibly make it and to maybe win. He's obviously won at Kansas before. So I think that has added to the storylines and makes it that much more fun. So I mentioned that Kyle Larson, he's locked into the championship four in his post-race availability. He expanded on what that means moving forward for him.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I mean, we had a good points lead or whatever from the cutoff going into it, but still, you know, Harvick had his issues last year and didn't make the final four, so that will always be on my mind. But we had a fast car today, and you know, we had a good couple stages. So even if I didn't come out with the lead or the win or whatever, I wanted to play it smart and take what I could get. But you know, I got good shoves from behind me every restart and allowed me to get clear into the lead into one every time, and then do some blocking for a few laps. So fun on all those restarts, and we had a great race car to allow me to be aggressive with the blocks and fast too, to stay out in front of William.
I think that Kyle Larson is not going to take the foot off the gas. Like I said, I think they're going to try and go for 10 wins, which is exactly what I would do, and they're going to try and keep their momentum going. Because how many times in no matter the sport, name the sport, does a team get a bye and the bye comes back to bite them. And you can almost look at the next two races as a bye for Kyle Larson, because it doesn't matter what he does. He's still in the championship four. My guess is he's going to act like he's not in, and he's going to be competing for wins. And the safe bet is he's going to win one of the next two, you know, whether it's this weekend or Martinsville. So I think they keep going ahead like they have been, trying to win all these races, and it certainly worked out. The one to watch, another one to watch, is Denny Hamlin. And Denny Hamlin was asked this week when he met with the media of, you know, if you get to Phoenix, what do you got to do to beat the five?
Well, I just think that the five has been very, very dominant on the mile and a half racetracks. And our championship is going to be decided on a mile racetrack, which is very, very different. So last year we were very good on the mile and a halfs. And we were not that strong on, you know, short tracks, and we were beat before we got there. Our cars just weren't fast enough. We knew that. And so this year, I think we've flipped it a little bit, where we're actually quite a bit better on the 750s than what we are the 550s, even though we are still strong. This is by far our worst 550 race in probably a couple years, just off of speed and whatnot that we had. And we were still, you know, a sixth to seventh place car. So I think that it's just, while we know they're, you know, I'm not putting, you know, their speed aside, just ignoring it, I certainly think we're just going to a very, very different racetrack that is one in itself that, you know, again, we're going to decide a championship on this one racetrack. Hopefully your cars are fast and you're good at that one type of racetrack, because if you get to the final four, what you did the first 35 races does not matter.
And he makes a good point. Kyle's been really good on the mile and a half, the intermediate type. Phoenix races like a short track, which I think makes it exciting, and why it is the championship race. So it creates a challenge. But, you know, here's the thing. Larson has won on every type of track. He's won on road courses. He's won on the short tracks. He's won on the intermediates. I mean, he's just that good. And so I don't really think it, you know, I take the super speedways out of it, but yeah, I don't think it really matters what kind of track it is. And Denny has been another fascinating part of this, because he has been so consistent this year in the Cup Series that's why he's in the conversation. He didn't win until the playoffs, but he's been right there. He's led laps. He's finished second. I mean, he's been in the top five. So he's been so consistent that everybody looks at him as going, all right, well, you know, he's right there in the mix. He's right there in the thick of things going after this championship. And, you know, if it comes down to the final laps and it's the 5 and the 11, I would sign up for that. I think everybody would sign up for that. I mean, you know, the 18 will probably be a factor. You could see the 22, the 2, whoever. But the 5 and the 11, you would love to see it settled between those two, because those have been the best two drivers all year, you know, from a consistent part from Denny Hamlin, and also winning if you're Kyle Larson. So I certainly want to kind of see it play out how it needs to play out. So there you go. When we come back, we're going to talk to John Roberts. Of course, he is co-host of Trade and Paint on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. He has covered the sport for a very long time. Got a lot of topics we can get into with him. We're going to do that when we come back, as you listen to Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, The Game Nashville app. Are you ready? We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, all presented by Hillside Medical, streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe hanging out with you on this Saturday morning. And as they get ready to race into Kansas, we're going to see who else gets locked into the championship four. We say hello to John Roberts of SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. John, it's been a fun playoff so far, but I have a feeling it's going to heat up even more at Kansas. How you doing?
Man, all is good, Jason. Glad to talk to you. And the one thing I like about this, just heading in, the guy who has the worst situation just so happens to have the best record in the playoffs at Kansas, and that's Joey Logano. All three of his wins at Kansas have come in the playoffs, and he's the guy who's as far behind the eight ball right now as you possibly can be. So I love that that's playing into the whole thing. The Kyle Larson phenomenon has just been great to watch over the past couple weeks. But, you know, there's still just no – I mean, the only guarantee we have right now is the fact that Kyle's in the championship four. Everything else is up in the air.
Yeah, and so a couple of points on that. Larson, for one, you know, I'm sitting here, and we're all fans. I mean, we all do a job, and we all cover the sport, but we're all fans. And it's like I sit here and I go – I think I'm gonna be disappointed if he doesn't win it, just because of how dominant he's been this year, all the races that he's won, the whole comeback story and joining up with Hendrick Motorsports and helping to bring Hendrick back. But that's the fun part of this format, that, you know, even though he's in the championship four, there's a chance he doesn't win it. That's the format that they've created, but that has added another layer to these storylines.
Complains now about the format with which you choose a champion is kind of missing the whole thing, because the complaint that the reason you switched to this playoff and elimination format was from complaints from the fans. But it just parallels other sports, because we saw, you know, not too many years ago, the New England Patriots, you know, go undefeated through the regular season, but lose the Super Bowl. So when you have somebody, you know, back in the day, and I say back in the day, it's not too long ago, Jimmy Johnson would go to Homestead and the scenario would be finish 21st or better and you got the championship. So he would just go out there and skate around and be really careful. And Tony Stewart was in the same situation once. And it just didn't make for the excitement that as soon as you had this format that put people – you know, anybody has to be the best on any given day. And it, you know, it just mirrors other sports in terms of this thing where you're not guaranteed anything until the last lap of the last race of the season, which I think is absolutely fantastic, because before it could get really, really lackluster.
So the other part that you brought up Joey Logano and how good he's been at Kansas. I mean, we all remember the big three and me. And that was the year that Joey won, you know, the championship. And he, you know, it wasn't you. The story was Truex and Harvick, and that's what you were talking about, Kyle Busch, throughout that entire thing. And then you have Joey Logano come in and go, "Hey, what about me?" And he wins the whole deal. I feel like that could certainly be a situation again where if he wins this weekend, he punches his ticket to the championship four. You're going to have to watch out for that 22.
Oh, no question about that, because we saw that play out last year. I mean, everybody, we often joke that, you know, some people say, you know, last year, you know, you wrote in pencil that Kevin Harvick was going to win this thing because of what he did. And then some people wrote it in pen. Well, some people etched it in stone with a chisel that Kevin Harvick was going to be the guy. He didn't even make the championship four. But when you look at what could happen if somebody breaks into that, we saw that play itself out last year with Chase Elliott winning at Martinsville. You know, a lot of people saw him not, you know, he was below the radar and he ended up being champion. So although all the odds makers and almost anything you look at points towards Kyle Larson right now, don't forget that last year proved to us that if you're in it, you can win it.
Is Kyle Busch the sleeper in maybe in all of this? I mean, he's fourth in the points right now. He won earlier this year at Kansas. He's still maybe not back to that Kyle Busch form with only two wins on the year, but he's hung around. And he's had some more consistent finishes. Could he certainly be one to, I'm not going to say play spoiler, but maybe be the sleeper?
Well, Chase, here's my thing about Kyle Busch. If he can just keep his head, there's no question about his driving ability. There's no question about his team and the cars that Joe Gibbs Racing puts underneath him. But he tends to get so wound up in things. I think he's absolutely a... And if you're a better wagerer out there, a lot of the odds makers that, you know, run these scenarios through this, the only good value left in terms of wagering is Kyle Busch, because everybody else has been bet down so far. If Kyle Busch can just drive the race car and, you know, keep everything together, he could clearly now sit in the only former champion above the cut line right now, which is kind of interesting. But he could also, you know, very easily win Kansas. He's got a great record there. And I didn't realize this until the other day, till I actually looked at the statistics of it. So far this year, Kyle Larson has led by far the most laps on 1.5-mile racetracks. But Kyle Busch has the best average finish at a 4.4, which is type of racetrack. So, you know, going into this weekend, if you're not watching, he gets that victory and makes his way, and makes it into the championship four, no question he's, you know, got to be an odds-on favorite at that point.
We're talking to John Roberts. He is one half of Trade and Pain on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio alongside Chocolate Myers, that you can hear at 11 o'clock Central Time in these parts. I want to ask you about 2311 Racing, because we saw Bubba Wallace win at Talladega a few weeks ago, his first career NASCAR Cup Series win, and it was a huge moment, a historic moment, but it was also the first win for that race team co-owned by Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan. I felt when they announced the second car with Kyle Busch that was a, we need a veteran driver to come in and help give ideas. And Kurt's at that point in his career where he's wanting to mentor and also help with a new race team. But what did that win mean for that race team moving forward and not just for Bubba in his career?
I think it was absolutely huge on many, you know, on many different platforms. First of all, for Bubba, but also for the race team, because, and one of the biggest things is I expected, and I think a lot of other people did at the beginning of that season, when you put together what is basically a Joe Gibbs Racing car, they are, we're really getting everything that Joe Gibbs had to offer in terms of equipment. And Bubba has proven, you know, time and time again, he can run up front. And he's won before in the other series that he could do it. I expected them to win. So for them to check that box off there, I think it is huge for them to have that win in terms of sponsorship. But what's going on right now with their charter, with the thing with the second charter, if they are not able to get that second charter, I think that puts them in a little bit of a precarious position next year. Because the charter has to go to Bubba. It won't go to Kurt Busch. And what's happened is you're running Kurt Busch with you know, with what's termed an open car that goes to the racetrack and doesn't have a guaranteed starting spot. But I wouldn't worry about Kurt Busch making his way in. I wouldn't worry about that. But then, you know, when you talk about the sponsorship that you could potentially get, if you're not a chartered team, and you're not able to get the winnings that a charter team gets, it puts you behind the eight ball a little bit. But so they've got, you know, somewhat of the double-edged sword going on right now in terms of they got that working against them, but they have a victory working for them. And then again, Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin, Bubba Wallace, those guys are going to command sponsorship.
The charter system is an interesting subject, because I understand why they did it in the Cup Series. It's made, you know, these teams even more valuable than they already were. But I'm also curious of, with the new car and, you know, how that's going to be more cost effective for teams. I mean, you've heard other owners that are looking at coming into the series. Dale Jr.'s batted it around of moving Junior Motorsports up to the Cup Series, because it would actually be cheaper to run a Cup team than the Xfinity team, albeit the charter, though, is what plays a role. So could you see maybe some tweaks to this whole system, or are they pretty much stuck with what they're doing right now?
No, I think the charter system, Chase, is going to stay where it's at right now because of the way I believe it works. It's a great concept, because we saw guys in the past, and the one example I always use is Ricky and Linda Rudd. You know, they went out on their own. They started their own race team. They won. And then when it came time for them to back out of the sport, they opened the garage door and sold all their equipment for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't reward anybody for, you know, for doing that. Now, there was a talk of a franchise system that would mirror other sports, but that model didn't really work. So the RTA, you know, the Race Team Alliance and NASCAR together came up with this charter system to where somebody, if you have a race team and you compete, you have this tangible. And Baldwin Racing, Tommy got a charter because he was his race team was in the points where they wanted to be at the time to get awarded a charter. And then when it came time to sell, it was very valuable. So I don't know what a charter is worth per se, because different charters are worth different amounts of money. But at least it guarantees an owner that there is something tangible to sell when they leave. And it rewards them with the fact that they know they're going to race. I can go to my sponsor if I have a charter and I can say, hey, I'm guaranteed a spot with this car. And then for me personally, as a charter owner, I know I'm going to make more money for where I place in the race.
Yeah, well, it certainly has helped to bring the sport to where it is today. A healthy spot is the sport right now. John, appreciate the time as always. It's good to talk to you again, my friend, and really enjoy what you and Chalk do on Trade and Pain on Sirius XM.
Thanks, Chase. Listen to you all the time, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
John Roberts, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, and lives in these parts as well. Appreciate him for tuning in like he does, and the feeling is mutual. When we come back, I want to talk about the code, the driver code, when it comes to the playoffs and different things, and tie that into some rivalry conversations that have been taking place lately. We're going to do that when we come back. A reminder, if you miss anything on any of our shows, including today's, you can go to thegamenashville.com, chasingcheckersradio.com, or you could subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get that podcast. And you can follow us on all of the social medias, Chasing Checker Radio on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, and Chasing_Checkers on Twitter. We'll be back here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, The Game Nashville app. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Appreciate John Roberts for joining us from Sirius XM NASCAR Radio as they will race at Kansas coming up this weekend. But before we get into that a little bit more, I wanted to discuss some things. I mean, I was reading this, and I've Bob Pockrass for Fox Sports following his tweets, and I know he asked Denny Hamlin about this, but you know the code between drivers, because we've seen some really hard racing. It's a long, long season. I mean, they start this thing in February and they end in November, and you know everybody I think gets this thought of, oh, all these drivers are best friends, and they're not. I mean, they're competitors. They are beating and banging door to door, week after week, and so tempers boil over. But where's the line, especially if you are in the playoffs and there's a driver not in the playoffs? Do you cut a guy some slack? You know, how do you manage all of that as these drivers try and race for a championship? Because, you know, we have seen championships be lost and guys get eliminated from the playoffs because of things going on. We're going to get to Chase Elliott and Kevin Harvick in just a second, but I thought that Denny Hamlin's comments on this were pretty interesting, because he was asked about, you know, Ryan Blaney and then some of the give and take that happens within a race, and this is what he had to say.
Well, I mean, I think we've seen in our sport there is no code. Just depends on kind of how you were, you know, brought up, and you know what, you know, kind of how your racing background is and stuff like that, to whether it's acceptable or not. But certainly, I would have been, you know, more upset at Blaney at the time. You know, looking back on it, I mean, Ryan was three wide middle and just kind of steered right and cut our tire. But yet after the race, I told him, I get it. No big deal. I mean, I know it wasn't malicious. It was a mistake. And you can ask him. I said, it's all good. So, you know, I understand it for that reason that we're all fighting for it and whatnot. But he is a car that we're battling. He's trying to get the spots as much as I am from him. And, you know, yeah, it's you know, hard racing amongst guys going for a championship.
Part of this format has created this. You know, you gotta think about the give and take, and you know what one driver is going to give the other, what past relationships there are. You know, have there been feuds in the past? But at the same time, this is what NASCAR wanted. This is what the fans wanted. This is the drama that they wanted to create within this sport, and now they're getting it. And so I think it's finding that balance that the drivers are looking for in all of this. Now, Denny Hamlin goes on to talk about, because Bob Pockrass follows up and asks him specifically about drivers that aren't in the playoffs, and he gives a little bit more.
Well, you expect, you know, the favors that you have be returned. And again, you know, it's over with, but my frustration is that, you know, if you take me out and I don't wreck you immediately the next race or the next few, then like you owe me one. Right. And so it's just one of those things where I just don't understand the mentality of some of these guys. But, you know, like I said, I also said in post-race media after Texas that I understand everyone is racing for their own individual race. You can go through the whole list of quotes that I've got. Somebody's asked me that question and I gave plenty of quotes for it.
So my opinion on it is this. I think if you are a NASCAR driver, if you are a driver, if you're a competitor in any sport for that matter, but in this sport in particular, your job week in and week out, regardless of the team you race for, regardless of the type of equipment you're in, none of that matters. Your job and your mindset is to go out and win the race. Every driver in that field should have that mindset. If I own a race team and I don't care how good we are or how bad we are, whoever I hire to put in that race car, my first expectation is going to be, I want you to go into that race and act like you're going to win it every week. I want you to have that mindset that you are going in to win the damn thing. And so with that said, you know, Denny said it right there that, you know, every driver is out for themselves. Whether you're in the playoffs or not, your goal is to go and win the race. Now, with that said, I'm not saying to do anything to give up that goal or to give up the opportunity to win that race. But if you're in a position where you know you're not going to, and you see a playoff driver coming, and you want to make that decision to cut them some slack, that's on you. I kind of look at it as you're going to race, and that's what you're paid to do. You are going to race, and you have to understand that as a playoff driver. You know, NASCAR is unique that if you don't make the playoffs or you get eliminated from the playoffs, you know, you still race every week. They still have the full field. It's not like you get eliminated. It's not like, you know, there's only eight drivers on the track right now. It's still a full field. And so you do have to deal with those guys that, you know, aren't in it and aren't competing for a championship. They're just out running laps trying to win the race. And they're not going to make it easy on you. There's no rule that says they have to make it easy on you. That's just the way it is. So I know it's frustrating to drivers, and I'd be frustrated too, but I think that's just kind of how it goes in these situations. Now, I want to tie this in to the Chase Elliott and Kevin Harvick stuff. We saw what happened at Bristol, where they got into each other and they got into it afterwards, and then it kind of spilled over into the Roval. NASCAR got together with them and said, we're going to knock this off. Now, I have an issue with that. I think NASCAR, you have a great rivalry that's developed. It's a fun storyline between them. You've had this boys have at it mentality, and now you're going to tell them to knock it off. Like, come on. I don't agree with that. I think that's talking out of both sides of your mouth. You know, I don't want to see a situation where anybody gets hurt. Nobody wants that. But, you know, they have been taking care of things like NASCAR drivers. That's what they've been doing. You know, they got a, they didn't really have a physical altercation. They got in each other's faces, but you know, they have, I think it's 1-1. But if you've missed all of this, I decided to put together a little recap for you of Kevin Harvick versus Chase Elliott.
I just told him, you know, it was kind of a chicken move that he did there at the end. You know, we're racing for the freaking win at Bristol. We're three wide in the middle, and he throws a temper tantrum like, you know, I was just trying to get the lead and racing hard. And then he pulls up in front of me and just sits there until I lose the whole lead. So, you know, just hate it for our Subway Ford Mustang team, you know, to be able to lose a race like that. I watched him let the 24 go by, and then anytime you run into him, it's a problem. So they can boo all they want. I don't care.
How much of this is compounded by the fact that you were so close to winning and to have it slip away, but then also what happened when he went by you again?
Yeah, well, I lost so much there, and then, you know, when I got behind the car, I kept getting tied off the corner, and I couldn't run my line. So, I'm ready to rip somebody's freaking head off.
Oh, well, it's something he does all the time. He runs into your left side constantly at other tracks, and sometimes it does cut down your left side. Other times it didn't, or it doesn't. Did it to me in Darlington a few weeks ago because he was tired of racing with me. And whether he did it on purpose, it doesn't matter. You know, at some point you got to draw the line. So I don't care who he is or how long he's been doing it. I'm gonna stand up for myself and my team, and you know, we'll go on down the road.
And the incident with the 9 early in the race, was that retaliation for Bristol? Spinning out the 9, Chase Elliott.
You know, sometimes real life teaches you good lessons.
Are you guys even?
That's all for Kevin Harvick.
That kind of wasn't the story of the day. What was going on out there between you and Harvick?
Oh, I'm not sure, but really proud of our team, and just proud to be moving our NAPA team. Did a really, really good job of fixing this thing. I mean, it's destroyed, and I think we finished. Where did we finish?
12th.
12th, so, yeah, I mean, our team has a lot of fight, and I'm just super proud of that. You know, as far as Kevin goes, just want to wish them a merry off season and a happy Christmas. You gotta fight for your right to
party. Yes, a merry off season and a happy Christmas, which is now on shirts. So that's a little bit of a recap between Chase Elliott and Kevin Harvick. And you know, I know there's, I'm a fan of both of those guys. You know, if you've seen me on streaming at all, you will see a lot of 4 or 29 diecasts. There's some 9 diecasts. I mean, I have them all. Like them both. I like Harvick's, you know, lunch pail mentality, not putting up with anybody's crap. Chase Elliott, yes, he's the fan favorite, and you know, he is the face of NASCAR, but you know, I feel like NASCAR needed to let this one happen. You know, just don't get in the way, because now you've created the narrative that you're protecting Chase. Even though I don't think you are, you've created that narrative. And people that don't like Chase are going to say, oh, well, NASCAR, you know, they're protecting the golden goose. You know, it's the same kind of stuff that would come out about Dale Jr. when, you know, there were people that weren't fans of Dale Jr., you know, when something would happen, or he'd win a race that, you know, was a controversial or whatever. And that comes with being the face. I mean, I get that. That just comes with the territory. But, you know, I think that they should have let this one marinate a little bit, because I think there's more to it. And there probably still will be more to it, because it's clear that there is no love lost between those two drivers. So Kansas, coming up this weekend, as we get close to wrapping things up here on today's show, this playoff race, it's the third different track to host the 8th race in the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. Phoenix has done it. Texas has done it as well. And this race tends to be won by playoff drivers. A total of 12 different drivers have won the NASCAR Cup Series playoff race at Kansas Speedway. Joey Logano leads the NASCAR Cup Series in playoff wins at Kansas with three. He's done that, did that in 2014, 2015, and last year in 2020. Other drivers that have won here in the playoffs that are currently in the playoffs, Kevin Harvick, not in it anymore, but he's done that. Martin Truex Jr. won this back in 2017. Chase Elliott won it in 2018. Denny Hamlin won in 2019. And I'll mention Kyle Busch won earlier this year in the spring race at Kansas. Twice the winner of this of the playoff race at Kansas has gone on to win the title. In 2008, Jimmy Johnson won at Kansas. He won it from the pole. He led 124 laps and then went to win his third consecutive title that year. In 2017, as I mentioned, Martin Truex Jr. won at Kansas, and he went on to win the championship. And only three non-playoff drivers have won a playoff race at Kansas. Joe Nemechek doing it in 2004, and then Tony Stewart did it in 2006 when he was 11th in points, and then Greg Biffle won in 2007 when he was 14th in points. So just some news and or some facts, I should say, about the Kansas Speedway. You know, I look at this, you heard John Roberts bring it up, that Joey Logano is certainly going to be one to watch to potentially win this race because he has won there in the past. He's been very, very good there when he has raced there. But let's do a little Sunday money real quick as we look at the odds from BetMGM to win the Hollywood Casino 400. Let's see, who's the favorite? Can't imagine who that would be. Kyle Larson at plus 225 is the favorite. And I mean, at this point, you can't not put a little bit on him. But some of the drivers we mentioned already, Denny Hamlin, who I think needs to win. I think he really does, even though he says, you know, he thinks he will be okay. In fact, let's hear from Denny Hamlin real quick on the things that he thinks he needs to do to advance.
Well, I think that if we can run top five in the next four stages and we can finish in the top five the next two races, then I think we'll be okay. I think we'll probably be fine. A lot of it honestly depends on your competition. I think we were very, very fortunate this past weekend with all the attrition, with the competitors, you know, getting in trouble. All of that really played a big factor into us, you know, kind of maintaining our position up towards the top. So, you know, feel very fortunate of that. But yeah, I think it's certainly going to take, you know, we have to assume, right, based on past results that, you know, one of those guys at the bottom, whether it be Joey or Martin, are going to go out and win these next two races. And if we do that, then that cut line moves right to me. And I'm actually plus one. I'm not plus nine or eight or whatever it is. So that's what the number I'm racing to is, plus one to even right now.
So I do think he'll be okay, but a win would do him good. Plus 600. Kyle Busch is plus 700. He won in the spring. Chase Elliott, who's won there before, plus 750. Ryan Blaney, plus 900. Martin Truex Jr., plus 900. Then you get into some value here. Joey Logano, as I mentioned, plus 1600. I would definitely put something on Joey Logano. Brad Keselowski is plus 1,200. Some long shots that I like. Tyler Reddick at plus 2,500. He has been good at places like this. And Alex Bowman at plus 2,500 as well. So going to be a fun one from Kansas. That's going to do it for this week's edition. My thanks to John Roberts of SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and all of you to listening. Join us next Saturday at 9 for Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Game Nashville app.